going to look at that at a station level. And also the question of information recorded in the OPAM and in sufficient control. Just that we have assurances from that that those questions of performance information is given the necessary attention. That just issues flowing from those interactions, then over to you, the Commission, for response, and then we will go to visible things.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my colleagues here, and I will add some of them, some points. Let's deal with the issue of professionalism, which you raised yesterday. And I think we articulated quite profoundly yesterday and succinctly what we're planning to do in terms of professionalization and issues relating to how we civilianize our policing. And I have said the one big thing that we all need to do is to contextualize, to say, what are we talking about when we talk about demilitarization? It means many things to many people. For some, it means doing away with the rent. For some, it means other things. So this civilianization that we're talking about has got a basket, a plethora of activities that we need to be taking. I have indicated already yesterday that we're talking, for this, when you talk about professionalizing, we're talking about training in a number of areas, looking at whether we are well positioned to deal with the policing in a democratic dispensation, taking into account issues of human rights, looking into what the Bill of Rights is requiring from us, and all those things are getting multiple platforms of amplification. If you go and look at our curriculum in terms of our entry-level training, if you come and look at some of our retraining for our leaders and all those things, we take in those things amplification. Our station lectures and all those, we discuss those things. The emphasis that has come through in terms of what HRD was talking about, issues relating to our code of conduct and how we deal with it, because it is fully aligned with some of those things. The application of particular principles, as well as ensuring that Chapter 10 of the Constitution is taken into account. The number of issues that we're taking into account. Disciplinary issues where we're looking at behavior and conduct that does not follow the prescript that enforces as well as endorses what those type of issues of professionalization we're talking about. I mean, for instance, right now I can say that yesterday, in terms of our internal processes, we fired 8 police that were linked to that middle mafia matter. In terms of our internal processes, the criminal process is still going on. So I just want to say a lot is happening. What we shall do, Chair, maybe is just to put a position document that will show you how these things are being brought to life. The number of you know, interventions that are operational that we're dealing with. The issue of the bone of contention of debt, I shall be on record of this committee once more. I've been on record to say nothing has changed. The principles and philosophies we have used since the beginning when we started announcing our debt remain. And in fact, we, in terms of our new debt policy, we're working very closely with FED SA. We will be announcing our memorandum of understanding and cooperation because we actually want to focus. Our aspiration is to move beyond being an official FED to becoming a national statistic. So those processes are taking place. Nothing has changed. And I want to put it again on record through you, Chairperson, that nothing has changed. The same philosophy that we used in 2003 is the philosophy that we use today. The debates that are taking place, we appreciate, we have engaged, but we haven't changed anything. The formula remains the same. The disciplinary code, I have spoken yesterday to say it took us 7 years to negotiate. We have signed with the SSSPC. I have signed. It is on the desk of the new minister so that we finalize it. Timelines in terms of the CFO, I indicated yesterday that I have no pressure we are comfortable as an organization, we're still able to account, yes, we will get a CFO, and I will at some point indicate my timing in terms of that. Right now, I'm not in a position to. The issue of demilitarization talks to that professionalization that I've touched on. The issue of process flows, we are working very closely with the HE. We had a big conference last year where we started each of the areas crafting the process flows. We continue to evaluate the implementation of those through our NMS and all our executive development forums. So that is being taken into account, and we use it quite a lot in terms of how we're accounting. Where an area is underperforming, we go and check and say, what happened to your process flow? Is there something wrong with your process flow? So that engagement with the AG has actually assisted us to be able to account a little bit better. Reaction times and pocketbooks, indeed, it again was a repeat audit, and we've improved a little bit. We are hoping that when we look at our results that are still being audited, when we look at it, it's no longer, you know, a generic underperformance. There could be an area where we could improve better. What I've seen is that there is a growing improvement in terms of that. We will look at the audit outcome of this year. On the issues of subtracting, indeed, those are things that we're looking into. We have indicated that those are challenges, and indeed we shall continue to do so. Sufficient controls is a focus, Chairperson. And if we have to give any additional information on some of these issues, we shall be willing to do so. If the control environment in any organization is ever growing, you can never be absolute. But I want to say we are seriously focusing on those, and this is why yesterday I said to you that we've adopted what we call a combined assurance. That combined assurance ensures that we just don't focus on the smaller population of stations that are audited by the AG. That is why I said our inspectorate deals with over 700 of those. Our IA deals with about 250. And the remainder, we get our SMS to be in. And it is because we want to really drive this issue of controls close to home, and for instance, the SMS, they don't just go. We have a standard checklist that you use when you go to a station to say, where is that, how are you doing that, what is that doing, and all that. And we hope through that process that we can continue to accelerate our, improvement of our controls process.
Thank you,
Dasha.
Commissioner, I'll give members who wants clarification or further questions and just an opportunity to keep it short because we must get stuck into the presentation. Mr. Prindabal.
Thank you, Chair. Referring to yesterday, I'm not sure where it fits in, the Commissioner can decide. I have two issues. The one is the training of the university. I'm not sure whether it's part of the training that is coming, whether it's part of the infrastructure budget, but I'd like to know under which heading is budgeted for the university, what is the amount. Then the second one, Chairperson, I'm also not sure whether it will be part of the legal aspects, which you actually referred yesterday, but I want also to ask the Commissioner today, when is she going to make a decision on Jackie Salebi's legal costs? She said that September, October last year, it will be soon, so I'd very much like to know now what is going on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hunewald. Commissioner Lebati, Mr. Swana, and yes, Ms. Coda Barnard, and then
Thank you, Chair. One of the things that was also mentioned by IFS was the sub-suicide, and that is increasing. They even gave figures that it increased from in 2008-2009, that's only 73. In 2012-2013, that's 115. Now, it brings me back to the question that I like so much, to say who repairs officers for trauma PTSD. Because once when we visit the police station, we find a very big police station, but you try and check how many people were repaired for psychological tests, you find only one person was repaired. And it's kind of abnormal. So my question is, who repairs them and who makes the follow-up to see to it that they attend this trauma therapy? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The staff on embarked upon a program to assist upgrade the skills of detectives leading up to the year of detectives up to now. One is going to assert and inform the commissioner. How has that contributed? In terms of its output and the details, what the building is and what it attends going forward. I'm aware that you've got a budget item in the it is an ongoing process. If it is, where are we and what have we achieved? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Colabona, and then Mr. Mbele.
Thank you, Chair. The National Police Commissioner referred to having dismissed the ace involved in the Mida Messiah matter yesterday, but that the criminal case was still ongoing. Now, I frequently speak of what seems to be a parallel criminal justice system that runs within the SAT. Now, while I absolutely agree these men must have, they had to be fired, what will the SAT do if the courts find, say, one of them was not culpable, was not guilty of the offence? You've now gone ahead and dismissed them. It just seems extraordinary process. And along the same lines, we did hear last year of the 1,448 criminals within the SAT, and there seemed to be a determination that they would go, but there were huge stumbling blocks between kicking them out and them staying in the SAT. What is the situation there, and when will you continue the criminality audit from 2010 up till today? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mbele. Thank you, Chairperson. Excuse me. At the risk of maybe sounding a little bit like a broken record, I would like to bring up again an issue I've raised. I asked a question about yesterday, the commissioner did address it, but she also mentioned it now, and it triggered a question I had from the ICS presentation. The ICS raised a concern about the quality of the performance of presiding officers in disciplinary cases. And I do want to just bring up disciplinary issue again, because it speaks to how you address police impunity when there is misconduct or abuse of power. So the talk of modernizing and quickening the processes of disciplinary processes, what are the measures or assurances that doesn't mean a proportionate reduction in the quality of those processes and the performance of the presiding officers? Thank you.
Thank you. And the last hand I saw is Honorable Tsitsonga.
Thanks, Chair. Corruption is a very serious issue in South Africa. And it seems as if the whistleblowers do not get a fair share. Once they discover corrupt activities, they go to the police, they are shunted from one pillar to the other. It seems as if the police are not acquainted to the Protected Disclosures Act, and secondly, Act 12 of 2004, with specific reference to Section 34. In order to curb corruption, I think the police must be trained in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Any other questions we will deal with under the afternoon with their presentations? Over to the National Commission, Alex.
Chairperson, the first question that has been posed to us is about the budget of the university. It forms part and parcel of the human resources development budget, and our total budget for that is 1870 for HFG, the entire HFG. I should also indicate that the model we've adopted in terms of this, like other students, some of the students are paying some portion of their own training. It shows how committed they are in terms of tuition fees. We take care of their accommodation, their meals, and all those type of things. So there is a very committed process where the students are also paying through correspondence, some of those. So the budget that you would have had yesterday was that 1870 billion, which is part and parcel of our HRT training. You also asked a question about Jackie's levy. I can also say, yes, we are attending to that. You haven't concluded the matter. And remember that I'm not the solar, I work with Treasury, I work with the lawyers. We haven't concluded it, but it is working for you. And then there was a question by Memo Liberty on ISS. Just to say, indeed, the statistics that have been given, there are statistics that they get from us. That's number one. And as an organization, we have the very first, as responding to that increase in numbers, we held the very first suicide national conference to look at the matter. And out of that, we came up with a program of action that is saying, how are we going to deal with this reaction by police to this? So last year, we had that big conference, and there's a program of action that is part and parcel of our HRP review processes that are taking place. So we're having a number of those. We can share the program to see what is it that we will be doing to actually deal with it. You would have heard yesterday when General Mbekela indicated was that we're talking about mandatory referrals for debriefing. It was there. It also has a target because we're saying where members have handled scenes that are traumatic, have been involved in those, they would be mandatory, whatever. There's a target that we mentioned yesterday. I will ask you just to go to that. We have scoped it. It's one of the new targets that we have added. The issue of what we have achieved in terms of our detective, year of the detective and all those things, it's on a number of fronts. One, we've improved the environment by ensuring that we buy members equipment that will assist them in doing their detective work. We bought them steel cabinets, we bought them fridges, we bought them computers. In addition, we added training to some of those in order for them to use the computers. It's still ongoing. We haven't finished because when you start somebody like myself who didn't know any computer before, it takes time to get into that. So the process continues in terms of training them. We held the very, very first detective convention where we prioritized issues that we wanted to focus on as we improve our detective work. And also, we have started a process where we are looking at the entire detection strategy of SAPS to look at how the various detection environments connect. We have seen the first draft of that. So a lot has happened in that. The rock training in PAL has also been put in place, and as I talk, I don't know if they've completed. When I was there 2 weeks ago, there was another team that was there, you know, going through this training of the detectives. So a lot is taking place, and I want to say, I was saying to the team, some of this program, even if we say a year of the detective, is a type of program that is rather that will not take a year or two. It's an ongoing process. We start it. What we must do is to share our milestones, to say what are we achieving, where are we still sitting, what are the challenges. one of the things that we're looking at as a result of that initiative is to say, for many years we just had detectives. There hasn't been career pathing, and we lost good detectives going to other environments where they can get promotions. So our recruitment to retirement HR strategy is looking at this. It's one of the areas we're focusing on, and we hope that when we progress, we'll be able to come and see how people grow, you know, in the detective space, and we can retain them in the detective environment, continue being detectives. We're looking at some of the lessons that the Department of Education had, because they also struggled, you know, good performing teachers were being promoted to be inspectors. We're looking at some of the treatment they've given there. So we are also looking at all those number of things, and we shall continue reporting to the committee in terms of how we're progressing in that area. Honorable Barnard raised an issue around the internal process and the criminal process. By design, those processes should not be talking to each other. Because when I look at a member who has conducted an arrest and conducted arrest in the wrong way, I use internal prescripts to start saying, we have this SOP, we have this standard, we have this guideline. Did you follow those? Because if I'm going to wait for a criminal process, I'm not able to deal with this member, because that's another process. It can be an add-on or a subtraction. But ordinarily, what I want to look at is that being a structured and a highly regulated operational environment, did you stick to those things that you're supposed to be doing? So ordinarily in these processes, we run parallelism. We run both an internal process and a misconduct in terms of internal processes should never, ever wait for a criminal process, which was a weakness that I found in the police. And we as a leadership have actually started saying there are parallel processes. Let's deal with our internal processes and let the criminal process continue. So they are not dependent on each other, because the SOPs are not necessarily the law of the country. So we use those to deal with these matters. On the issue of 1448, those members that were found with criminal records, you would be aware that we were challenged by the union to continue with the process. So at this point in time, our processes have been barred by legal processes. So we would have, you know, and we're serious law-abiding citizens of this country. So we cannot defy the rulings of the court. We will try and see how we mitigate that space, we navigate that space as desired by the court. So, and that was a matter that was brought against the police by the union. The issue of modernizing our disciplinary processes and ensuring that there's quality in terms of those hearings. We are establishing what we call trial units. And those trial units, we are looking for people who have the knowledge, the skill, the ability, and they would be national as well as provincial, and we'll swap them. Their dedication is to ensure that they run our internal disciplinary processes. We've looked at some of the, you know, winning environments. I think we use some benchmarks. We look at people like Home Affairs. We look at people like SARS. We look at some of the old exercises that we've had within the police. And this is why we are going into the trial unit. The other thing that we're working on, which is progressing very well, is standardization of sanctions. Because we don't want the, because if it's a line management thing and we say, she stole a pen. Somebody else says, for stealing a pen, I give a warning letter. The other one says, for stealing a pen, it's very serious. As a police, you can't steal a pen, you are firing me. So we're looking for those standard minimum sanctions. And it's going to be, as you would know, our disciplinary is highly negotiated. We would have to get into those negotiations with labor, which is also in itself very challenging, because where we are sitting in management practice, issues of discipline are a management tool. But this time, the agreements that are there, in fact,
is that you negotiate that too with unions. So those issues of standardized functions, we will also be engaging them to show them where we are going, because we want, you know, standard practice, auditable practices that can be able to show us where we are going. So we are in the trial unit and standardization of functions. Okay. The issue of whistleblowers, I think that was the chairperson an advice and a comment, and we embrace it.
Thank you very much. I think let's, we can do the follow-ups during the next session.
Pardon, Chair. It was just something I needed clarity on in what the commissioner, in the answer that the commissioner gave to me. So it's your decision, but it would probably be easier to deal with it now. Thank you. Commissioner, it seemed to me from the issue of the 1,448, everyone's horrified that you have criminals in the SAS, but it seemed to me that perhaps you were misled by your legal team, because it was ruled in the court to have been inappropriate and illegal to set up the boards that you did. I think you're at a stalemate now. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm very concerned because they're still in there.
Chairperson, as I've said, those are matters of the law. We are indeed arguing that we have the right sitting in the Constitution, in our legislation. It gives me a right to have a board that he has said. So we will be engaging legally to deal with that impasse, because we need to deal with it. So we will be back in the court.
Thank you very much. We will then start with the first presentation on visible policing, and over to the Commissioner.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I shall request General Mawela, because we've done the basic presentation, we've dealt with the finances, we are now into the program. General Mawela, the acting Deputy National Commissioner for this environment, will introduce. What we will then do is to get the various divisional commissioners dealing with respective areas. For purposes of this process, I would say slide 57 that deals with the introduction of both programs will be dealt with by General Mawela. We will then move to slide 69, where we are again refreshing your memories in terms of financials for this very program, which will be dealt with by General Skeke. We then would move to the issue that deals with visible policing, which deals with crime prevention, from slide 70 to slide 76. Major General Mutala will lead us in terms of presenting the targets we've set for ourselves in that area. In terms of border security and specialized interventions, which is our public order environment, General Mawela will again handle those targets under slide 77 to 79. At slide number 81, General Mawela will continue, and at that point he shall be introducing presentation of the targets for detective services. General Skete will then follow to deal with a recapping on the financials, the budgets that have been allocated for detective purposes. Slide 84 to slide 90, the head of detective services will then, General Mooney, will then walk us through the targets that we've set for ourselves to achieve in accordance with the resources that we would have been given. Slide 91 to 93, Major General Arendse will deal with that, dealing with specialized investigations to say what targets have we set for ourselves. And finally, we will deal with slide 94 to 95, which will be led by Lieutenant General Pashani, dealing with our forensic services. So I'll keep on reminding you as we go. I just wanted to give you the broad outline. Now I'll ask General Mawela to introduce this book.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm introducing Program 2, Visible Policing, of which the purpose is to enable police stations to institute and preserve safety and security and provide for specialized interventions and the policing of South Africa's borders. The strategic objective, to discourage all crimes by providing a proactive and responsive policing service that will reduce the levels of priority crimes. The Visible Policing Program comprises the following three sub-programs, that is crime prevention, border security, and specialized intervention. Through you, Chairperson, Lieutenant General Skeeter will deal with the expenditure estimates and performance measurement.
Thank you, Chairperson. Once again, if we go to Program 2, we have indicated yesterday that this is by far the biggest program as a whole in the SAPS vote and comprises of 51.1% as we indicated under the first bullet as well. Now, this program consists of a number of sub-programs. Now, the first sub-program is categorized in a functional manner as crime prevention. Now, that crime prevention sub-program, again, can be broken down into certain elements which are very, very, very big. And those elements, if we go to the second bullet, includes the crime prevention per se, 25.3 billion. Then one would also find under the broader category of crime prevention rail police to the value of 776 million. Then the dark units, the K9 units, amounting to 664 million for the current financial year. The horses, mounted police, 94 million. Then the old social crime prevention, which members will remember, which are now rephrased as youth, children, and gender-based violence, 31 million. Then the flying squad, reaction unit, 947 million. And then also the nutrition of detainees in our holding facilities to the value of 230 million. So this is by far also the biggest sub-program in this regard. Then we have the border security aspect. Now, the border security aspect is the second sub-program to the value of approximately 1.51, going to 1.6 billion from 13-14 to 15-16. The border security obviously include the ports and then also some of the border line issues, and that is to the value of 1.659 billion. Then a very important aspect which have become more prominent in recent times, specialized interventions. And before I conclude with a sentence, all members know about the task force, public order policing, national intervention units, and so forth. Now, the specialized interventions include the special task force, estimated amount at 70 million, the national intervention units at 145 million, then the tactical response units at 252 million, and then also the big, big one, public order policing, to the value of 1.776 billion. Now, we have engaged in a three-year upgrading of specific personal and specialized military equipment for the Special Task Force and the National Intervention Units over and above the normal military equipment needs, and those are this intervention is also referred to there and is actually in the vicinity of 28.7 million and then also for the National Intervention Unit in addition to that. Facilities, and we have referred to the facility environment yesterday, and we've indicated to members of the committee that normally facilities previously were at Program 1. But in our engagements with the National Treasury, they said the whole facility environment, although still be dealt with as one unit, they feel that maybe the weight should move and we should leave Capital Works with Program 1 and the other facility management, which consists of leases, accommodation charges, and municipal services, we should put at program too, the reason being that a lot of those aspects of police stations and police stations as an immovable asset, they feel should be under this program. Be that as it may, we have dealt with it yesterday because to a large extent it's a support function, and this in broad terms are the sub-programs which together form the program crime prevention. Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, that's all. And General Mawela will now continue with his presentation.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Program 2, Visible Policing. The strategic objective of the program is to discourage all crimes by providing a proactive and responsive policing services that will reduce the levels of priority crimes. And the sub-program, the first one is crime prevention. The strategic priority is enhancing visible policing. And the first performance indicator is number of reported serious crimes. And the target there for 2014-2015 will be to reduce by 2%. The second one will be number of reported crimes against women. The target for 2014-2015 will be to reduce by 2%. The number of reported crimes against children. The target for 2014-2015 will be to reduce by 2%. The number of reported crimes for unlawful possession of and dealing in drugs. The target for 2014-2015 will be to increase by 13%. Number of stolen, lost firearms recovered in relation to the number of firearms reported stolen or lost, including state-owned firearms. The target for 2014-2015 is to recover a minimum of 84.3%. Number of stolen, robbed vehicles recovered in relation to the number of vehicles reported stolen or robbed, including identified and unidentified vehicles recovered. The target for 2014-2015 is to recover a minimum of 46% reported stolen robbed vehicles. Percentage of escapees from police custody versus arrested and charged, in brackets, percentage of escapees from escapes from police custody in relation to arrested and charged. The target for 2014-2015 is not exceeding 0.048%. Still continue with sub-program crime prevention, which deals with the strategic priority, quality, service delivery, and responsiveness. The performance indicator is percentage of applications for firearm licenses, permits, authorizations, competency certificates, and renewal finalized. The target for 2014-2015 is 90% of applications finalized. Next indicator, performance indicator, average national police reaction time for Alpha, Bravo, and Charlie complaints. The target for Alpha complaints, reaction time maintained at 19.05 minutes on average. For Bravo complaints, reaction time maintained at 24.33 minutes on average. Charlie complaints, reaction time maintained at 20.46 minutes. The target is for this 2014-2015 is 21 minutes 45 seconds on average. Percentage of police stations rendering a victim-friendly service to victims of rape, sexual offences and abuse based on set criteria. The target for 2014-2015 is 100% all police stations. Quality of illicit drugs confiscated as a result of police actions. The target for 2014-2015 is increased by 3% for cannabis, for mandrax, for cocaine, and for crystal meth, tick. And then the volume of liquor confiscated as a result of police actions increased by 3%. Number of police stations where sector policing has been implemented according to minimum criteria is 100%, the target. Percentage of operational community police forums implemented at police stations according to set guidelines. The target for 2014-2015 is 100%. The number of rural police stations implementing the minimum criteria of the rural safety strategy pillars. The target for 2014-2015 is 50 police stations. Closing of identified, unlicensed, and illegal liquor premises. The target for 2014-2015 is 100%. Number of national crime awareness campaigns conducted. The number of the target for 2014-2015 is 16. I continue on the sub-program border security. Effective border, the strategic priority there is effective border security management. Performance indicator is percentage of crime-related hits reacted to as a result of movement control system and electronic movement control system screening on wanted persons, circulated, stolen, or robbed vehicles. The target for hits related to persons is 100%, and then for vehicles also is maintained at 100% for 2014-2015. Sub-program specialized interventions, the strategic priority there is police incidents of a public order, public disorder or security nature which are not deemed to be normal crime. The performance indicator there is percentage of medium to high risk incidents stabilized in relation to requests received. The target for 2014-2015 for National Intervention Unit is 100%, for Special Task Force is 100%, Public Order Police Unit is 100%. Strategic priority, safeguarding of valuable and or dangerous cargo. The performance indicator there is percentage of safe delivery of valuable and or dangerous cargo in relation to the number of cargo protection. The target for 2014-2015 is 100%. Protection provided without security breaches. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Continue, Chana, to introduce the. Thank you very much. Through you, Honorable Chairperson, I continue to introduce Program 3 to take. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to first take questions on this program. I'll recognize the members. I think from my side, the first question, and then we'll go down the line. Welcome, Francis, from the IP as well. Glad to see you here, sir. It's the issue of public order policing. Now, in terms of the allocation, it's 1.7 billion rand. It's a lot of money. I think we all agree that that is an issue that needs attention and prioritization. In terms of the SAFU presentation that we've got on yesterday, indicated that there's currently, and you must please rectify or expand on the issue, that there's currently 4,000 POP members, and they said to deal with the South African situation, we at least need 10,000. And that they indicated also that the centralization is a problem in terms of reaction time. According to their presentation, it's based in Pretoria. If it's an issue that evolves in a different province or rural area, timelines are a big problem. So my question would be, in terms of public order policing and the budget allocation, do you got really a plan to deal with that effectively and give us assurance that we've got the manpower for that 1.7 billion rand? Barnard, and I will go down then, you know, the line, because everybody's raising their hands, and I will recognize everybody. I think we'll take five questions, and then we will go back to you. Is that fine, Commissioner? Ms. Barnard.
Thank you very much. I'd like to look at the border security. Look, I think 51.1% to this poll, fine. Of course, it must have a majority, but I'm still have concerns about border security. The Auditor General's report of July 2008, at that stage there was a 71% under capacity rate for land borders. Sea borders was 96% under capacity. There were no helicopters, horses, quad bikes, no patrols. I understand we've handed it back to the defense force. But certainly corruption was a major, major issue at that stage, specifically at the border posts where SAPS is very involved. Has this I've never heard in this committee of that being a particular area of focus, but I would like some input, and perhaps my mind would be put at ease that you can say, yes, you've dealt with it all, and you've gone through the report very carefully and dealt with each of the issues that were raised by the Auditor General. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two questions. The first relates to the targets around either the percentage reduction or increase in various indicators. In a previous work incarnation, I was a monitoring and evaluation officer, and I became very sensitive to the perverse incentives as well as the sort of lack of reality that can creep into log frames. So, for example, if your target is to reduce by 2% the number of reported crimes against women, once you reach a level within the year at which you risk exceeding or missing that target, all of a sudden there's a huge disincentive to take on cases that are presented and to record them in the system. Similarly, if your target is to meet a certain percentage increase in the number of reported crimes for unlawful possession of drugs, there's an incentive to go out there and find the flimsiest possible incidents that can allow you to sort of notch up that quota. The issue might have been raised before, but I just want to ask, has that been thought of in designing and compiling these targets, and how can you mitigate against those perverse incentives to either keep things out of the system in order to meet targets, or to go searching for sort of flimsy evidence in order to notch up and actually meet those targets? And my second question, very simple pointed one, just for my own clarity, in terms of the specialized intervention structures, when we had that when we had that threatened public unrest in the city of Cape Town last year, in which the group CISCO and the People's Movement was a central player, and there was a unit brought in to preempt and very effectively contain the situation to prevent the violence and the looting we had in October last year. Yeah. The previous year. Can I just ask, perhaps General Lamour will also be able to assist, was that the National Intervention Unit or was that a POP unit? Thank you.
Honourable Mukwanku? Well, I was going to make up that name.
Honourable Fuara?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. So from the report we received yesterday from the unit, there was also an investigation to link that the role of intelligence within the public border policing unit is kind of lacking. So they alluded to situations where you would have the local police reacting to a situation, only to find that by which time the public order policing unit get to know about it, the first event that went in has been stalled, and naturally the feedback to those units becomes inadequate, hence their reaction time and the manner in which they react. So there was advice given that perhaps it would be imperative that we endeavor as best as possible to ensure that within public order policing units there's adequate intelligence ability so as to gather data and apply them to be in real time. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Clara, Honorable Bruno, Honorable Manubati.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me first start by commending the department for the target, the inclusion of this target, rural safety, fight against vulnerable groups, including women and children and the elderly. This is really commendable. My question is on the boarding of vehicles. what happens after a vehicle is boarded? Is there a replacement, or does it mean the unit will now function without so many vehicles that were boarded? My next question is, how is the department going to finalize the implementation of the sector policing in the remaining 185 police stations? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. We will take this basket, and then we will again to the other members. I didn't forget about the Honourable. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. I'll attend, and my colleagues will add where there are gaps in terms of the various questions. The first one, Chairperson, was around what you raised, the budget that is allocated for public order policing and the report that you received from SAP. Let me report to this committee that indeed the Cabinet has approved an accelerated capacitation program for public order policing. And I shall take this committee back to say in 2004 or so, the sense was this is the nature of the crime intervention from policing that could be put at the backbencher. We dropped from 11,000 capacitation to about 2,000. We took the members that were there and distributed them to our normal other functions within policing. We soon realized, a year, two, three, four later, that this is an emerging type of police intervention that is required. And at that time, we then needed to first change our strategic orientation, because at that time, the strategic orientation was shifted to crime prevention. And we needed to switch it back to say there's need for focusing on public order intervention. That had to be coupled with a recapacitation in terms of numbers of public order police. We progressively did that because there was no new money coming in, and this is why SAPU would talk about 4,000. It was deliberate and it was very focused to say we need to start increasing our capacity in terms of the public order police that we require. We've since gone back to the drawing board together with the other stakeholders. From a policing point of view, we have said we would like to accelerate that, you know, by 2015, 2016 to about 9,000. So that process is taking place. A lot of what we're doing would require new money. We're doing what we're doing based on baseline a little bit, but in terms of us accelerating and getting to the point where we would feel comfortable as police, I guess also as a country, we would need some new money to come in. Coupled with that, when you add people, you need to add resources in terms of cars, in terms of equipment, in terms of whatever. In terms of the 4,000 that we have, we've tried to use our baseline to get additional new equipment, new cameras, new all those things. As I talk, for instance, water cannons. We have one by province. If anything happens in Bloemfontein and something happens in Musina, you can only have that water cannon elsewhere, or go and borrow from Mpumalanga to intervene. If something is happening in Nelspruit, you will not be able to have that. And those are pricey pieces of equipment. So the need for new money is important to help us optimize the acceleration, the accelerated capacitation program that we're talking about. But that has been put in place. The plans are there. What we've also done in that area is to go for integrated interventions. What do I mean by that? That is not just the police. We have engaged Department of Justice to say, as and when there is an incident happening, they should be able to tell us of the dedicated courts that are available so that we can deal with the matter speedily and quickly and get convictions where we are supposed to convict. And they've come on board.
they've done, you know, they've identified those, there's some level of dedication, we're still advancing that further. We've also, from ourselves, for instance, say, in any POP team that is out there, there must be a legal person who would sit there, because when they go into those Section 4 engagements where they're talking about allowing or disallowing a march or a community protest, lawyers have to be there so that the terms of reference of that Section 4 agreement are very clear and straightforward. So we've done that process also. We've also put into those teams people like communication so that they are able to also already advise the team and the special unit around issues of communication and all those type of issues. Crime intelligence, as it's being mentioned, are also part of that, because it's important for all those integrated offerings to be in one room, and I'm sure General Mwela can talk a little bit more to that. The issue of centralization has been raised. Let me start off by saying SAPS by nature is what we call a matrix organization. It is a national department with a delivery footprint in the provinces. Some of the functions lend themselves to devolvement in full to the provinces, but the strategic planning and the strategic use of resources requires a national capacity. POP is one of those. What the question has been asked by Mbele, yes, you will find a unit in the province because the province needs to be given that operational capacity. But General Mawela will also have a national unit where we are saying if Tijuren goes on fire and Mossel Bay goes on fire and the deployed capacity that is locally here, even though it is locally, it's nationally organized, managed, and the province is also participating in that, General Mawela should have the capacity to say, of the team that is reserved sitting here at National, I'm deploying some to Rustenburg and some to Western Cape. That's what we talk about when we talk about nationalization. There will always, that unit that you saw will always be here in the province. And we would be able to support and capacitate or pull from other provinces to support, depending, because it's never equal at any given time. That's why you need that national base eye view support from the national office. So, and then the other thing that we've done, Chair, part of the capacitation is to open the dormant units that have been closed then, because they were geographically positioned to assist us to say, if Mosina is, for instance, burning, there must be a unit in closest proximity, maybe in Zanin, rather than it being in Nabuam Spray. So we're looking at those, that's where we need the new money to assist us to be able to do that. Finally, what we've also done, we are looking into force multiplier interventions, where we are saying there must be force first responder capacity in close proximity. And this is why just prior to the elections, we had massive training of over 2,500 TRTs, our own TRTs, as well as metros, as well as we are going on with a program of identifying from each of the stations visible police people that can be trained on that. And then we have introduced in our advanced training of entry-level police, because you would recall that we moved from 6 months, we took it to a year, we're now training our police for 2 years. For a reason, because we're starting to add other programs that are important there. So all our entry-level police trainees now also have a module that deals with public order policing. So we're trying to do what a force multiplier to ensure that we're able to have massive ground cover in terms of dealing with this issue of policing public order. The issue of border security. Let me start off by saying, Honorable Member Panat, you would recall that the Cabinet has also approved the establishment of a border management agency, recognizing the fact that not any one of us as security agencies has the absolute capacity to give public order management. So we have defense, you have ourselves, you have SARS, you have a number of us playing a part in that area. We have advanced. That establishment of the BMA has first assisted us as government role players to refine and purify each of our roles in ensuring that we take care of the borders. That is a welcome development, and we're all working on it. Technical committees have been established, which are chaired by the various stakeholders depending on that technical environment. I think we chaired two of those, General Mowe, in terms of that. So that is work in progress, and I think it's progressing well, and it's starting to help us to integrate as functions. On the issues that you are raising, which relate to our contribution as police towards border management, you raised, for instance, the issue of maritime policing. In terms of that remit, indeed, we are responsible for the first 12 nautical miles from the border to the sea. They talk about clear and blue, white and blue waters. You know, I'm learning also, but I know that the first 12 nautical miles is what is policed by us. Indeed, it's an area that we're focusing on. We're dealing with it. Just 2 days ago, we had a very big discussion around the management of that place, the capacitation, and all those type of issues. And we would be willing, Chairperson, at some point to share with you how we are dealing with those issues. Indeed, some of the challenges that require to be grown, but I think there is a good focus in terms of that area. Issues of the helicopters, again, I'm sure General Mogoda will also touch on that. It's an area that we're also focusing on, and all those AG issues, we use them as a guideline to assist us to correct and to improve. There would also be a need of new money at some point because the fleet that we're having has aged, and it's pieces that are also very pricey, but we're looking at what we can use as a baseline to progressively replace one by one, but one day when it is raining, we may be requesting that the rainwater be shared with us so that we can accelerate, you know, buying a little bit more faster. But right now our reliance is more on our maintenance and buying on a very minimal basis so that we don't compromise the other programs. So it's an area that is also under focus. I don't know, General Mawela, if you want to add anything to that.
Thank you, General. Chairperson and honorable members, I think the National Commissioner have covered most of the things, but the issue which I also want to cover is the issue with Honorable Barnard mentioned, the issue of corruption in the border environment. It is a serious problem. All departments are affected. Stakeholders who are participating there in that environment, they are affected by this corruption. But there is a very good work which is being done by our detectives, by our hawks, in terms of registering specific projects to deal with corruption in that particular environment. And previously, there were very good successes achieved whereby members from the police, members from Department of Home Affairs, members from SARS were all arrested, because the modus operandi is there. Is that they are collaborating, all of them, the officials who are working there, supporting each other, covering each other's back, and so forth. But there is a very good work which is done by the Hawks in terms of addressing that. The issue of intelligence capacity in the public order police units, yes, in our strategy to enhance the capacity of the POPs, it is taken care of, whereby the intelligence community will increase their capacity to assist us in terms of gathering information and intelligence to assist the units to perform. But over and above that, we have what we call them the information officers in each and every unit. And these information officers, they're also being trained by our intelligence community how to go about collecting information and so forth and bring forward that information to the units. What we have done is to speed up the process of sharing of that information or intelligence is that each and every unit, commanders of the public order unit, their cell phones, their email addresses and so forth are linked to the nodal point in the Crime Intelligence Center. So once those alerts are picked up, immediately when they disseminate it to all the commanders, it reaches the commanders there on the ground to try to alleviate this bottleneck, to say that Crime Intelligence will inform me will inform somebody will inform that particular person. The time it arrives at the unit commander, it is already too late. So we have tried also to clean up that process. But in the long run, with this ground coverage of the Crime Intelligence and our information officers, I think it will assist. The partnership which the National Commissioner spoke about, it will also assist because of we believe that the community police forums on the ground, they also have a role. The community leaders on the ground, they also have a role to play. The mayors, they have a role to play. Some of them, they receive this memorandum timelessly. And in that memorandum, there is a timeline. Please respond to us as the community within 7 days. The police, they may not know about that timeline. So we've also established that kind of a relationship to say that inform us about those petitions, about those memorandums you are receiving and the timeline so that we begin to monitor the process and the development. If the memorandum simply requires that, go back to the community and report back. We will always encourage the community leaders to can go back, even to say that we take note of your demands that you need a road here, but there's no way that the municipality can provide the road within 7 days. We take note of that. We are taking the matter serious and so forth. So that we keep contact with the community and so forth. The relationship we have established with these community leaders in a long way is going to assist us to ensure that we don't have surprises in the country, whereby people, they close the road and nobody knows, no police knows about that, only the community or the people who are involved in closing the street, they know about it. That's what we are trying to do. The issue of the borderline whereby the defense, they have now taken over from us. Yes, it is true, because of we as the police, we didn't have the required training to can walk those bushes and the capacity to can walk those bushes. That is why the function was transferred back to the defense, because the defense, they've been trained to read the compass, to read the map, to read the landscape of the landscaping and so forth. So all the capabilities is within the defense force, and that is why they're doing that function for us. Yes, thank you very much.
Because of that one, the NSS, the National Security Strategy is also assisting us quite a lot, because we're looking at those threats that are prioritized, that have been clearly assessed. And then General Munu will also talk about, from a border point of view, the cross-border operations that we have with other countries in the region, and we're able to recover quite a lot in terms of some of the cars and other things that cross the whatever. So through our relationship with SARS-4 and all those things, we are able to do more. Honorable Mbele asked a question about his sensitivity towards use of lock frames and those perverse incentives. We are taking that caution as you advise us, but also to say to you, for instance, in issues such as drugs, we would be able to give you an average to say we must never go below recovering this level. But because the fundamentals change in Yoyo, if you go to Durban, for instance, this recent bust, it's the largest we've ever had in the history of South Africa. But next year it may not be that, it may be normal, whatever. So we would not be ashamed to go and say we discovered 3 billion, and next year we're able to say, because we didn't get a large factory as big as that one, we recovered 800,000 or million, whatever, we would be able to do that.
So that will not inhibit us. And look at, and we'll ensure that, as you advise, we monitor that opportunistic type of policing intervention, as you have put it. We note that. And then, I think I've answered you in terms of the intelligence issues. Memam Libet, on issues of boarding of vehicles, there's a whole replacement criteria, a whole criteria for allocation. One of the criteria is that a boarded vehicle, the first thing is to replace. So we start with replacement as a priority, and then from there we look at additional needs and allocate. So we do take that as one of the key indicators for allocation of new vehicles as we buy them. On issues of sector policing, I'm sure I'll ask General Mhlala to just touch on that to say how are we planning to deal with the remaining police stations, but also maybe as he responds to say we are busy with a big process of refining our rural strategy so that we don't use same mechanisms as we use for urban for rural. That's what we said yesterday. So it's important for us to articulate and apply sector policing in a rural sense. So those formulas are what we're working on, because what works for Soweto will not work for my village in Lishwane. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. To add on what the National Commissioner has indicated is that part of accelerating the implementation of sector policing is that we are planning as well around this month also to have a sector policing endeavor whereby all the stations that are experiencing challenges will also be invited so that we can be able to fast track on those challenges. And then part of the rural strategy to implement sector policing that will also, we're busy looking into the plan of implementing mobile police stations, whereby in terms of accessibility, where rural communities are not able to access police stations, and with the mobile police stations will be able to access, they will have that accessibility. And we'll be also be fast-tracking it through integrated approach between ourselves as the head office and also the provinces together with all the community police forums. And we have an implementation plan in terms of how we're going to be addressing all the outstanding police stations. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you for that response. I want to say Mr. General, Mr. Funeral, Honorable Mabija, Honorable Maki, Ms. Kodabana, and then Ms. Malabati.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to say that I completely differ on the issue of the progress on rural safety. Rural safety is planning for the last 7 years. And on slide 76, we say that the number of rural police stations implementing the minimum criteria is only 50%. It's totally unacceptable for me. It actually says that half of police stations in rural areas don't have any basic compliances with the criteria of sector policing. And I want to know, why is it 50%? We should raise it. Here again, we're going to plan. We're planning for the last 7 years. Chairperson, I also want to know what is done and what is the new approach to handle brutality in the visible policing. I don't have to elaborate on that. I think everybody is knowing what I'm talking about. On slide 72, we refer to the applications for firearms. Why 90%, Chairperson? It was previously said in this committee that the backlog was worked away. There's no backlog. We have the equipment. We spent millions on equipment to ensure that a speedy process. Why only 90%? I think it should be at least 98% when it comes to the completion of the application of firearms. And then I also would like to have some response. We see that a couple of members had been arrested. in the Central Firearms Registry, is it going to have a specific effect? Can we have the assurance today that it will have no effect? Lastly, another two chairperson quick questions. We're talking about the number of stolen arms recovered. I'd like to know, in the police services itself, how many firearms have been lost the last year and how many has been recovered? I also want to ask the chairperson, we have a new sub-program, slide number 69, facilities, for 3.2 billion budgeted. But we also have a shooting range at Afori in the Western Cape, where we have a contract price of 181.1 million rands, a contract. Why do we have that specific training or shooting range? Why can't members go, all the members go there at one time, once a year or whatever? Can I have more clarification on this specific shooting range and why such a big contract? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Babija.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are seated here before Bolt 25. And we do this as a process year in, year out, term in, term out. There are presentations that we listen to.
Mm-hmm.
We ask questions. They are meticulously responded to. But then, my question is, the big budget that is before us now, does it really match the changes and results on the ground that are visible? Does this visible policy, can it be turned to visible changes? Because I'm saying this, I'm very much upset because sitting here, everything will be so cogent and you leave the room believing everything is okay. But when we go home, everybody says it's from home here, even if we are at national level. You find things are just in a mess concerning the Department of Police. Now, I'm just reading to Me Pierre. Can you really be cogent enough to put me on a comfort zone that this budget is going to match the changes? Because we don't know what this money, you can say this amount is going to do this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But on the ground, really, things are getting worse. If you can assure me or ensure me today that this budget is going to match the changes, then I will be comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a request as the first thing. The acronyms that are used are not very friendly for some of us who are new in here. Yeah, I was happy to know that K9 refers to dogs.
Yeah.
No more going to say dogs outside, or just say canine. I would like to emphasize when it comes to the public order policy on the question of the location. It definitely doesn't make any sense to me if they are centralized. If they are centralized in Pretoria, from Pretoria to Cape Town and from Pretoria to Messina, if something is burning, they could as well remain in Pretoria. Because when they arrive, then there's absolutely nothing else for them to do. And I was thinking to myself, well, practically, in real life, what do they do when they are sitting in whatever barracks, or is it a camp? What do they do? Wake up in the morning, stroll around, smoke, or what do they do?
practically I can't see it. And one other question on slide number 70. It doesn't make sense to visible policy. I can't follow what is happening there. If you say the strategic priority is in enhancing visible policy, and your performance indicator is number of reported serious crimes, it gives me an impression that enhancing visible policing is just advocacy work, or is just sensitizing people to come and report the way it is written there. Unless if I can be clarified, number of reported crimes against women. How do you use that as your performance indicator? If they don't come, it means you didn't enhance anything, or what does it actually mean? If that could be explained to me. The last one would be the rural strategy, safety strategy pillars. Is it a mistake there? You said 50 police stations. Is it supposed to be 50%, or is your target really 50 police stations in the whole of South Africa, or what is it all about? Thank you, Shepherds.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first one is just a point of clarity. Did the National Police Commissioner refer to the Border Management Agency? There was, from 2001, the Border Control Coordinating Committee. That was more or less defunct for many years. Is that shut down and a new entity created, or does it still exist? Secondly, I'm a bit confused here. On page 75, the baseline performance of 2012-13 in terms of, for example, the volume of liquor confiscated as a result of police actions. Now, the performance was 1,824,865 litres. But then for 2013-14, it refers to an increase of 3%, but the figure is far lower, 1,332,269 litres. So that's a decrease, not an increase. And it seems that the targets for many of them have dropped. Crystal meth, from 347,860 kilograms down to 183. I can't understand. Surely the targets must go up in terms of what the police are doing. I don't know. Please explain.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the measuring of reaction times of rural and urban stations, why do we have them collectively measured? Why don't we have a reaction time for urban and reaction time for rural stations? Thank you.
Thank you. Response in general.
Chairperson, let's start with the issue of, let me just say, General Mawela, I want you to be ready to deal with those border management questions, BOCC and BMA. General Mhlala, can we deal with the issue that talks to 3% decreasing, 3% decreasing. There's a principle there that you have to explain. Let me just see again, slide the reporting of General Mhlala, slide 70. Deal with that. Can you deal, General Mawela, with the questions from Honorable Make on contextualizing and explaining the centralization, decentralization approach? Others, I'm sure we can add on to those. Let me start with the deal with application for firearms. General Mhlala, get ready for that. Okay. The issue of rural safety that has been raised by Honorable Kunabout, as well as the 50% policy in general. Shall I can meet that day?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. On the issue of the rural safety strategy, what we have done before is that we have implemented sector policy. And we realize that sector policy, when you implement sector policy in urban, is not the same when you implement it in the rural. So hence we brought in the rural safety strategy in order to mitigate and enhance the rural safety strategy. So the 50 that is standing there is that for this current financial year will be, our target will be 50 police stations. So this is over and above sector policing that we have implemented in all the other police stations. Thank you, Chair.
The question brutality in visible policing and it's one of those very big words interpreted differently, and I would have requested Chair for Honorable Kunabout maybe to just again repose that question so that one finds a way of saying how do we respond in a succinct manner, because if we talk about brutality in policing, when you open the newspaper every day, there is that question about brutality in policing, and it takes different forms all the time. So if we could be a little bit specific so that we are able to respond in a specific manner, it's a little bit wide for us.
I can do so, Chairperson. I mean, brutality is brutality, as the Commissioner has just mentioned. I mean, people are in the media and where they are towed behind the vehicle and all that sort of thing. If you look at the cases, for instance, unlawful arrest, we get complaints from the public where the police are brutal against them. My question is, what are we doing about it? How are we addressing that issue? Because for me, it seems as if some members of the police think they are above the law, and that if you don't listen to them, they just use brutal force. That is what I want to know. I think what the answer should be, but I'd like to hear it from the Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair, for that, because indeed I'm glad you mentioned two examples, and I will deal with them to show that the questions that we're talking about, even after we've dealt with them, they will still be dealt with. When I opened my presentation this morning, I said, Chair, to you, that just yesterday, in terms of our own internal processes, we have dismissed 8 members that were involved in the dragging behind the car. But I can assure you that even after our internal process, whilst there's a pending criminal case, that matter will come again and again and again. When an action took place here in Cape Town and we saw people beating somebody else, we acted instantly. Those members are not in the service. So I think the important thing is to say to you, Chair, that as and when this thing would happen, in a service as large as this one, we would count them. For the previous year, what we've been talking about, it's not cases that are more than 10. But all of them that have been brought to our attention, we deal with them. And we run two processes, our internal disciplinary process and the criminal process takes place. And IPIT always comes to the fore. And if you look at our performance in terms of responding to IP cases, it has increased to 80%. So we do intervene when those things happen. And this is why I spoke about our heightened and accelerated process to ensure that we have those empowerment of our disciplinary hearing, as well as ensuring that we sign those agreements that we've reached with the union, the Police Act, and we could be questioned for each and every one of those. So if anyone does things that are outside our prescript, we shall not hesitate to act. Wonderful. On the application for firearms, the 90%, a process such as that one, Chairperson, is always difficult to put absolute. It's important for us, if we hear the 98%, we will engage and see, because we are saying at any given time you will still be having applications that are in waiting. But we're saying all the ones that we received for that particular, let it not be anything above 10%. That's the reason why we're having that. You can't have an absolute type of the indicator. The Central Firearms Arrest, again, is an indication of what we do. If you are corrupt and you're not doing things according to how they should be done, we intervene. And as we take them out, we find others to continue the work. We can't keep people for the sake of keeping them there. If you're corrupt, we will deal with you, discipline you, get you out, but we'll ensure that the work continues, and we shall continue to do so. When we report at the end of the year, because we haven't as yet consolidated, we'll be able to see our annual report in terms of that performance. The shooting range, I will want to ask General Skeeter to deal with that shooting range matter. And the stolen and recovered arms, I would like General Mkala to deal with it. While they are preparing themselves to respond, let me go to Honorable Mabija on visible policing and changes. It's a broad question, and I will also try to respond to it in a very broad manner, because you asked me whether I can give you a sense of comfort that the money that we're being given as a police, we're using it to achieve positive results in terms of visible policing. My simple, honest, and straightforward answer is that, yes, we are achieving. And we're truly grateful for government making those resources available to us. But let me venture to just, again, in a very broad perspective, to justify my answer to you. I want to say, when I was growing up, it was difficult to see a member of the police in the village that I was in coming to police Lushwane driving a car. The police would either be walking, if he's a senior, would be on a bicycle. But as we talk today, in that village, a car does come. We're talking about yesterday an allocation of vehicles where four policemen, slightly about four policemen, share one car, which means there's mobility for the police. They can be visible by using those cars. We thank the government for making resources available to us, because we are one of the largest fleet owners, and this is why we're able to be visible. I also want to go to another statistic which is very important. Our citizen to police ratio is 1:317. And I'll give you a quick comparison to say our citizen to the citizen to police ratio of a country such as America is 1:297. So much strides have been made by this government to ensure that we increase our citizens to police ratio. If I look at, for instance, our neighbors, maybe Zimbabwe, they're sitting at 1:400 and something. So it does show that the resources that have been invested have allowed us to increase our police. I've mentioned issues of training. Whereas in the past we were training our police for 6 months, because of this budget, we've been able to improve our budget, our curriculum, and our training capacity. We're now training our police for 2 years. It's starting to professionalize our policing, putting it on par with teachers, with nurses, and other people. So this budget has assisted us to improve some of those areas. I want to say to you, you should feel comfortable, because even in terms of our statistics, we are starting to see a progressive decline in some of the crimes. And even if somebody can say we're tooting our own horn, the United Nations, in their own assessment, has come out with a report that says certain crimes in this country over the past 9 years have increasingly started, are continuously decreasing. The IHS, which is a New York Stock Exchange research institution, again released a similar result, which confirms the fact that something is happening with the resources that you're giving us. I will also touch on issues of investor confidence, because a stable, peaceful, and a country that shows that you can venture to put your money in, we see some of those. A company like Barclays wouldn't have risked their $30 billion to invest it in this country. A company like, what's this hotel? Marriott Hotel wouldn't have come here to come and buy our Protea Hotel. Because there are certain things that says, if you are there, there's policing, there's a semblance of secure investment. So I want to say to you, if I may use those broad swipes, I want to say I'm confident. We would not have delivered the vote that we the election for the fifth administration. If we didn't have these resources, we wouldn't have been able to police the vote and deliver this type of outcome. We would not have been able to secure over 100 international, over 100 presidents that came to the burial of the president, of our late President Mandela. We were able to do so because this budget that you gave us allows us to police the country. So I want to say, feel comfortable. Is it without gaps? There are gaps, there are challenges. But when we come here and you tell us about those, and we read about the constructive criticisms that we see in the newspapers, we don't take it as hatred for us. We take it as opportunity for us to continue to improve, and we shall improve all the time. So I want to say, be confident. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'm just asking for our next responses so that we can keep it quite succinct, because we must move on to the next section. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. Mine, it was about the centralization of the Public Order Police Unit. Maybe to clarify this matter, in the country we have 27 public order units which are based in different provinces. We have one, currently we have one national mobile unit which is based in Pretoria. This is the unit which we are using to complement those which are at different provinces when those ones are overstretched. Our plan is to increase the units from 28 to 52. Once we have successfully introduced those ones or built that capacity, it means that one public order unit will be servicing 22 policing precincts, of which is going to also enhance the response and the mobility within that particular area. Secondly, it was the issue of what do they do if there's nothing? Do they sit in the barracks and whatever? The public order units, they have two functions. The primary function is crowd management. The second function is crime prevention. So if there is no upheaval, there's no protest action, there's no gathering, there's no march, these members are deployed to do crime prevention activities, or support the detectives when they go and effect an arrest and so forth. They also do that. They don't sit in the barracks. The issue with Honorable Barnard asked about the BCOCC and the BMA. The BCOCC stands for Border Control Operational Coordinating Committee. This was the structure which was established to coordinate all the departments which are represented in the border environment. So its function was to bring them together to minimize the fragmentation and silo operations which was prevailing in the border environment. But the government saw it fit that this structure is not adequate because of it didn't have a legal mandate. It could not compel anybody to do anything. It was just coordinating on a voluntary basis. Hence, they've opted to establish the Border Management Agency. And this Border Management Agency, it will also be strengthened by some kind of an omnibus legislation, which it will give them the functions and the mandate and so forth, but it's still the process which is ongoing. And the process of establishing the Border Management Agency is led by the Department of Home Affairs. Currently, they have appointed a project manager who's running the process, and there are technical committees, as the National Commissioner have mentioned, which are working to ensure that they complete the work. I think when sometimes maybe it will happen that Home Affairs will be invited to can come and brief the committee the progress made in terms of establishing the border management agents. But the BCOCC is still continuing to coordinate the departments in the border environment. Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the question on locked firearms, police firearms, we'll request through you, Honorable Chairperson, that you be included on our annual report. Thank you. Then the next one on slide 70, on strategic priority for enhancing police visibility, the performance indicator on reported crimes is that we enhance vessel policing by conducting crime combating operations, integrated crime prevention operations, and then in order to reduce the number of reported crimes. So what we use is that on the performance indicator, it will be the number of reported crimes, then our target will be to reduce them by a specific margin, which is 2%. And then on the next question of the quantity of drugs, is that on the question that why is it differing with the estimated target? We have estimated performance. And then we also have medium-term targets. So medium targets are over a specific period, which will range, for example, from 2013, 2014, 2014, 2015, 2015, 2016. So that's why it's different. But what will happen, to give you an example of what the National Commissioner mentioned, that this year, for example, we'll have a drug bust, which is will be more. But from our side, when we assess ourselves, we assess ourselves based on our medium-term targets, which will be 3%. Thank you, Chairperson. And then the next one on the reaction time, rural and urban. We are working on a national average target, but we are currently busy with the process of with the organizational development within South African Police Service. They are busy doing a diagnostic process to ensure that we separate the rural and the urban targets. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, point of order. Chairperson, it's not accepted for me that we hear here in this committee that we will wait for the annual report to receive specific statistics. It's never been like that. If that is the case, and if we are going to make that the norm in this committee, then we don't have to ask any questions, because I can read, and then all of us can wait for the annual report. If I ask a specific question in this committee, I have a reason why I'm asking it now. In the past, it always has been given, and I want to rule, or to ask you to rule on the matter, that we cannot accept the fact to say that we will wait for the annual report.
Yeah, I think we will need that information as soon as possible. because we've got to table a report next Friday to Parliament and indicate whether we're satisfied with these issues and if we can just ensure that we get it as soon as possible. National Commissioner?
Chairperson, I'm sure we can give those type of numbers, but what we would like the committee to note is that there wouldn't be audited outcomes. So the problem we would have is that when the audited outcomes come, then we must go and correct those type of things. We just thought maybe you would feel comfortable for us to say, wait for the audited number. I can give the numbers, but the numbers are not audited. We can give those. They're not audited.
In that case, Chairperson, I will request that we get the numbers and then we know it's not been audited.
That's right. I will be able to give those. In 2010-2011, for comparison purposes, it was 1345. In 2011-2012, it was 890. In 2012-2013, it was 840. In 2013-2014, it's 773. It progressively decreases. But it is not audited.
Thanks for that. I think it's still one response. The shooting range.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would not like to speculate about the specific demand that I would rather get during the course of the day, the demand determination. But might I just say that in terms of the shooting ranges, we had problems in recent years in order to get our people to shooting practices. First, we sit with the new enlistments. If we go for volumes such as 3,000-4,000 people in different colleges, we need to get them to shoot. Secondly, we also need to do maintenance shooting each and every year, otherwise the permit of such police official then expires. And thirdly, we had it in previous plans, which we had to abolish due to previous dispensations and new priorities which came to the forefront. Fourthly, it's also capital expenditure and formation leading to job creation. Be that as it may, we had a number of issues where, for instance, in Mpumalanga, we had to take people, big numbers of people with buses staying over, take them to KwaZulu-Natal in order for them to have shooting practice. So to a large extent, it's a priority issue. I hear what Mr. Groenewald is saying. Surely there's also validness in that. It's not that we say that it isn't. The fact of the matter is we sometimes struggle significantly to get proper facilities where we can train our people, especially in contentious issues such as permits, number of police officials not complying with the Farm Control Act in terms of their practices as well as their adequacy in terms of the competency levels. So from a general point of view, but in that specific instance, I'd rather get also the specific demand that was determined leading to this specific aspect. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, colleagues, I think let us take a 5-minute break. He's not ready, but hopefully Parliament can surprise us. Let's take a 5-minute break and then we will come back. Hopefully Steve will be there. If he's not there, well, we will continue with Detection Services. Thank you.